The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to the sixth season of Curtain Call, episode one. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter. There are two exciting new initiatives being launched in Richmond, both designed to encourage new works. I'm going to have a conversation today with the two people involved in producing these projects.
So now I'm talking with Lucian Restivo, the artistic director of Richmond Triangle Players, and we're going to talk about the So.Queer Playwrights Festival. I don't know if that dot's supposed to be there or not. How do you pronounce it, Lucian?
It's just the So.Queer Playwrights Festival.
Okay, well, what's the dot doing in there?
So is actually abbreviation for Southern Queer.
Got it, which explains what it's about. Why don't you tell us more about that?
Yes. So we launched the So.Queer Playwrights Festival on August 14th. It is a playwrights festival that we will be mounting in January, either virtually or in person with five finalists. But for the time being, playwrights can submit their submission packet and the submission review team will then evaluate it. And then we will pick five finalists for the festival. We are looking for Southern Queer playwrights. We are also looking for LGBTQ playwrights or LGBTQ stories. So we're kind of looking for all of the above.
So I noticed one of the things it talked about in the process of collaborating, it talked about radical collaboration. What does that mean?
We're looking for collaboration from basically everyone that is a pillar of support of our organization. So we're looking for artists that we've worked with in the past. We're looking for local playwrights. There was a phrase that Chelsea Burke used in one of the workshops that we've worked on many new plays in the past, and she calls herself a play doula. So that's essentially what we're looking for as we sort of talk about radical collaboration. We're looking for people to birth this play.
So you could have critics as a collaborator too, necessarily, right?
Absolutely. We're looking for everyone across every sort of platform.
So it's going to happen every 2 years, right? Starting in January. How did this come about?
So our former artistic director, John Knapp, and his partner, Tim Gillum, gave us a fund to sort of help us implement the project. And in the time being, we sort of have decided to take it in more of a non-musical work.
Had they originally funded for a musical?
Yes, the original fund was set up for musical.
It is gay theater, after all.
Amen. We wouldn't like to discourage anyone from not submitting any musicals. We still are very open to musical and non-musical works, but we have opened it up in the non-musical genre just so we can get a really vast quantity of scripts.
Let's say you get 50 scripts. Who's going to sit down and read all those and make the decision on which ones? You're going to have a committee, or is it going to be all you?
It's not all just going to be me. I have put together a submission review team of 11 people in our community, as well as people that are a part of our organization. So everywhere from volunteers that we've used in the past, house managers, staff members, board members, as well as artists and directors that we've used in the past.
So obviously you're looking for queer subject matter. Does it have to be a queer playwright, or can it be a non-queer playwright who's an ally who just happens to write a queer play subject?
We are looking for queer playwrights, and okay, specifically Southern queer playwrights. The play's content, the piece's content, can be anything involving LGBTQ issues or have LGBTQ characters. But we are looking specifically for Southern queer playwrights.
And how do you define Southern?
That's for the playwright to sort of define themselves as. I feel like they can identify themselves as Southern.
I guess I should have said, how do y'all identify Southern? All right. Well, so if someone does have an idea or a play that they would like to talk about, what's the best way for them to get information about applying?
So we do have a website, www.soqueer.org, which will list all of the submission criteria, as well as sort of an about page with the fund and what we're sort of looking for. There is also a handy little donate page if you feel very helpful as we sort of build money and build the fund.
Is there a deadline for submissions at this point?
Submissions are now open and the deadline is October 9th.
Just to be clear, somebody can submit an idea at this point. They don't have to have a full-blown play.
Exactly. What we're looking for is just 10 to 15 pages of a sample of the script. That doesn't mean that the whole script has to be finished at this point. If you do get passed on as a playwright into the festival, you will get 45 minutes of the piece to present. So we would ask for a little bit more. But we are developing this piece over a year, so we're not asking for a full-fledged piece yet.
Great. Now, you said the soqueer.com. Is that so.queer or just soqueer, one word?
Just soqueer.com. .org.
Okay, great. All right. Well, I appreciate it very much. And they can also, I'm assuming, go on the Richmond Triangle Players website if they can't seem to find the other one. And I'm sure they there'll be a link there.
Yes.
All right, I've been chatting with Lucian Restivo, the Artistic Director of Richmond Triangle Players, about their So Queer Playwrights Festival. Congratulations and good luck with it.
Thank you so much.
And now we're going to talk about another program that's encouraging creative output. This is Sightlines, Black Lives Matter. And I'm talking with Omi Emi, who is the project director. She's also the director of the Program of Africana Studies at William & Mary. Welcome to Curtain Call, Omi.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Sightlines has been around since 2015. But of course, this year, there's a slightly different angle on that. And you're involved in that. Why don't you tell us what that is and how it's changing?
Absolutely. So this year, as a result of institutional reflection about our current socio-political moment and reflecting on the impact that COVID-19 and social unrest has had on the American theater, we decided to expand an existing initiative, which was Sightlines, and we created Sightlines Black Lives Matter to address the new seeing places that are developing in the Richmond area and to bring stories to the forefront that perhaps are not being told.
So Sightlines has been around since 2015. Can you give us a quick nutshell of what that program is?
Yes, the goal of Sightlines is to foster a renaissance in the public arts entertainment scene by inviting Richmond audiences to attend free contemporary plays performed in public gathering spots and cultural venues. Sightlines Black Lives Matter is going to be a little different in the sense that we are commissioning new work and we're going to film such work and make it widely accessible. So no one has to come to the theater proper. We're going to make this a virtual performance.
Of course, Sightlines has always been for any audience, but primarily aimed at underserved audiences in neighborhoods that possibly have never been to theater or experienced theater. Obviously, in Richmond, a lot of that audience is going to be a Black audience already that has been outreached through Sightlines. How is this year's Black Lives Matter Sightlines going to be different from that approach?
So we're going to keep the same agenda of serving underserved audiences for Sightlines. However, for Sightlines Black Lives Matter, we're going to uplift Black Indigenous writers of color. So it's the content for Sightlines Black Lives Matter that has our primary focus, right? Developing new work for the theater by Black Indigenous writers of color.
That's exciting. So what is the timeline for this? I know that the deadline for submissions is pretty soon, but then how will the development process unfold?
Treatments are due September 14th, and then the adjudicating committee will determine five of the writers, which can be individuals or teams, that should move forward in the process. So between October and December 31st, those writers will develop their script in totality, which should be 7 to 8 pages of content. And then after that point, we will then move into the developmental phase, i.e. the production. And that is expected to take the bulk of 2021, given COVID-19 and the need, to work in ways that are healthy and safe for everyone involved. And then phase three of the project would be to work with our international partners on the film festival. So there'll be about 10 screenings throughout 2022, accompanied by community conversations, which we'll bring in virtually, of course, unless conditions change. We'll bring in a community panel, which may have some academics. My hope is to have way more community members to talk about each work.
Now, you mentioned the word treatment. I know what that means, but you want to give us a one-sentence description of what a treatment is for somebody who might be interested, and also where they can submit their treatment.
For us, the treatment is the concept. Let us know how many characters are involved in the work, what is the exterior location, and what's the concept? What's the story that you're trying to get at here or that you anticipate writing in more depth about? The treatments should be sent directly to me. My email address is A as in apple, V as in Victoria, green, like the color with no E on the end, at W as in William, M as in Mary, .edu.
If someone has a question, is that also going to be on the Cadence Theater's website?
Yes.
So one final question, why are you excited about this?
Oh gosh, because it brings together all the pillars of things that I am deeply interested in, theater, Africana studies, community studies. I'm a dramaturg, and primarily my work is in the area of new work. And so I'm always excited to add new voices to the existing artistic conversation. I'm always excited to bring new artists to the production team. And this allows me to utilize the platform and the relationship that I've been building with Cadence for the past 2 years now. This really allows me to bring all of those interests to bear in service of Cadence's larger mission of serving the public through art.
Well, thank you so much. I've been chatting with Omiyemi, who is the Director of Afrikaner Studies at William & Mary and is also the Project Director for Sightlines Black Lives Matter. Thank you so much. Great to talk to you and good luck with the project.
Thank you. Thank you so much for this interview.
That's it for this week's Curtain Call. We'll be back in 2 weeks to talk to Jacqueline Jones about her starring role in the one-woman show and at Firehouse.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theatre Critics Circle website at artsies.org.